If you have a Bible, you can open to Exodus 20. We'll look at verse 16 this morning. The text is printed there on the next page of the bulletin. According to Jesus and the apostles, we read this several times in the New Testament, all of God's commandments have to do with our relationships with love. Loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, loving your neighbor as yourself. All the commandments are about that. And so this ninth commandment, which we're looking at together this morning, is about speaking the truth in love. Doesn't say that in the language itself, but that's what it's about. Speaking the truth in love for the sake of restoring our relationships and building our relationships and for the sake of living together in justice and in peace. And so that's what we'll talk about this morning. So let me pray, then we'll read the scripture. Father, you've revealed your will, your character, your life, your nature, your essence to us by your word. And so we pray that you'd help us to pay attention to you as we hear what you have to say to us this morning. Help us by your spirit at work in our hearts to grow in our relationship with you, in our relationships with each other, in the image of Christ as we consider your word together now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God spoke all these words, saying, I am Yahweh your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So the language there seems a little strange to us. What does that mean to bear false witness against your neighbor? Because the common shorthand for this commandment, the way we usually understand it, is do not lie. Don't tell lies. Tell the truth, right? Of course, in other places in scriptures, we are told in the clearest terms not to lie. For example, Colossians 3, do not lie to one another. But here, as God lays what are really the foundational commandments for his people, the language is more specific. It's actually very helpful that it's this particular language. It's helpful for understanding why it's good not to lie. For understanding the significance of lying, what's really happening when you lie, for understanding the importance of truthfulness. Then. So this commandment is expressed in the language of the courtroom. It's expressed in terms of a legal trial where a witness gives testimony to the character and conduct of someone. What this person is like, what this person has done, right? And so the use of this particular language reveals the nature of our speech as it's being addressed here. It reveals that our speech is a matter of judgment. It's the language of judgment. It's the language of court. And so it reveals that our speech is a matter of judgment, especially in the truthfulness or falsehood of our speech, and especially in the relationality of our speech as we speak with regard to one another. Our speech is a matter of judgment. So to speak against your neighbor, to speak against your neighbor reveals your relational inclination. It signifies your hostile predisposition toward your neighbor, that you are fundamentally against him. You're speaking against him. It means you're against him rather than for him. And this means that you've already judged your neighbor. You've made a judgment. You've already condemned your neighbor as unworthy of your goodwill. You've already decided not to love your neighbor. And to bear false witness against your neighbor means that you are so committed to actually that judgment. You're so committed to your condemnation of your neighbor that it doesn't matter whether you're right or wrong in the matter. It doesn't matter whether your judgment is righteous or wicked. It doesn't matter whether you speak the truth or speak lies. You will say whatever is expedient to do harm to your neighbor or destroy your neighbor. That it means saying something that tears down your neighbor while it appears that you are a good, moral, upright person. Right? It means doing injustice with the appearance of justice. So to bear false witness against your neighbor means that you're so prejudiced against your neighbor that you're willing to reject reality itself in your hostility. What's being revealed here is that when you bear false witness against your neighbor, Not only do you judge and condemn your neighbor, you judge and condemn reality, the truth, the very truth of God and the law of God. This is what the Apostle James says in our New Testament reading, which Yvette read from James 4. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. There's only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? And James had already established earlier in his letter in chapter 2 that to violate God's law is to violate your relationship with the one who gives the law, the lawgiver. Right? So if the law reveals God's will, the law reveals God's character, the law reveals God's nature, then condemning God's law means you're condemning God. It means you're judging God. So to speak against another person is to make yourself judge of that person, and to make yourself a judge of the law of God, which you are willing to violate, and even to make yourself the judge of God himself as the lawgiver. It's doing injustice with the appearance of justice, and you've decided that it's okay to do that. You've judged that it's okay to do that. Your judgment reigns supreme. And so God has not made us to be judges of the truth. He's made us to be witnesses to the truth, to tell the truth, and to live in the truth together. God has not called us to condemn our neighbors. God has called us to love our neighbors. We are not meant to judge God. We're meant to submit ourselves to the good judgment of God. But we've taken the mantle of judge upon ourselves whenever we bear false witness against our neighbors. And this is something we've been quite capable of doing, even if we're never called to the stand as witnesses in a legal trial. My guess is none of you have ever done that. But all of us have broken this commandment. We exalt our judgment over against the truth whenever we lie, whenever we decide that the truth does not suit my purposes. You've judged the truth. We exalt our judgment over and against our neighbors whenever we gossip, whenever we slander, whenever we speak evil of our neighbors. We exalt our judgment over against reality when we refuse to confess our own sins and we blame others for our sins. We exalt our judgment over against God's judgment whenever we speak in ways that are contrary to his law of love, when we call good what he calls evil, or when we call evil what he calls good. In judging others and judging the law and in judging God, you know, we ourselves are judged in that. We're exposed and our condemnation is revealed. The triune God of love created us for true relationships, true community, which requires that we live in reality together according to the truth for love's sake, that we speak the truth in order to restore relationships and build up those relationships and community. But when we break this commandment, when we do not speak the truth in love, we're rejecting relationship and we're rejecting God's reality, which means we're embracing the hell of separation from the one true God. That's ultimately what this means. This is the default state of humanity now, ever since the serpent first bore false witness against God in the garden, which you can read about in Genesis 3. We'll do a little of that now. The serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that Yahweh God had made. The serpent said to the woman, "Did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So the devil said that God lied to us. The devil said that God hid his true motives from us. that God really was opposed to our becoming like him. And that's why he withheld this fruit. He didn't want us to become like him, when the reality is God created us in his own image for the very purpose of being like him. So the devil lied about what God had said. He bore false witness against God's character and against God's conduct. The devil had already condemned God, and the truth did not suit his purposes. He lied because he was hostile to God, and he would say whatever was expedient to destroy our relationship with God. And we believed his lies, and we made ourselves the unjust judges of God and of reality and of each other. So when Adam was called by God, come, let's be open and honest with each other. Come confess your sins. Adam blamed Eve. He bore witness against her. And even against God, he says, it was the woman whom you gave me. Adam condemned his only neighbor, and he condemned God. He judged unjustly in order to justify himself. And now we've all but forgotten how to speak the truth in love. I mean, if I've got to throw someone under the bus in order to protect or promote myself, that's what I'll do. Even if really you were in the right and I was in the wrong, and I have to lie about it to myself or to others. We will commit many injustices and excuse a lot of evil in order to justify ourselves. The ultimate example of this, of course, is what sinners like us did when the God of truth and love himself came into the world as a human being. Jesus, the only good person who ever lived, and sinners called him evil. Jesus came speaking the truth in love, and sinners called him a liar and said he has a demon. Jesus came bearing true witness, faithful witness to God his Father and to the kingdom of God, and sinners called him a blasphemer. Jesus came testifying to God's forgiveness of our sins, and sinners rigged a court with false witnesses against him to kill him. As it says in Matthew's gospel, the chief priests and the whole council were seeking false testimony against Jesus that they might put him to death. So they'd already unjustly judged Jesus as worthy of death. They'd already condemned him as unworthy of their goodwill. They decided not to love him. They were so committed to their hostility toward Jesus that it no longer mattered to them whether they were right or wrong. It no longer mattered to them whether their judgment was righteous or wicked. Whether they spoke the truth or spoke lies, they just wanted to say whatever was needed in order to destroy Jesus. On behalf of sinful humanity, they rejected relationship with Jesus, and they rejected God's reality, God's truth in him. They rejected truth and love when they rejected Jesus. They crucified the one who is God speaking the truth in love. And there on the cross, the one who is called faithful and true bore witness. He bore witness. He did not exalt his own judgment. He did not condemn his neighbors. He didn't even defend himself. As 1 Peter says, when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. Jesus submitted himself to God's judgment, and he did that on behalf of sinners. He submitted himself to God's judgment in our place, for us, for our sake. Jesus was so committed actually to restoring our relationships with God and to restoring our relationships with each other in God's justice, in God's truth, in God's love. He's so committed to building the community of God and speaking the truth in love that he prayed as he was hanging on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. He didn't speak evil of us even when we were evil. He did not blame or condemn us, even when we were guilty. He entered into our place, and he suffered the hell of separation from his Father on our behalf. And he spoke the truth in love right there to one of the thieves who were hanging next to him. He said, "Truly, this is the true testimony. I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." So Jesus declared the reality, and he leaned into the relationship because that's the kind of God he is. Jesus fulfilled all righteousness for us. Jesus established the justice of God in our relationships in order to dwell with us in peace so that we could be with him in paradise, in the paradise of God's glorious presence. And when God raised Jesus from the dead, that was God's testimony that Jesus is righteous and good and faithful and true. And the risen Lord Jesus has given his testimony to us that we truly are his brothers and sisters, that we truly have his Father as our Father, and that his Spirit is truly our Spirit. This is the testimony that the risen Lord Jesus has given us. And now that Lord lives forever at God's right hand in order to give his testimony to God on your behalf for you, always, not against you. As we read earlier in our service, if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. His testimony is true. And it includes the reality of your sin. His testimony does not ignore the reality of your sin, but Jesus speaks the truth in love for your restoration, for the restoration of your relationship with God. So his testimony about your sin, the reality of it, is that your debt is paid and your sins are forgiven. So when Jesus in love reveals the truth of your sins to you, it is not to punish you, but to restore you. He speaks the truth in love. We call that discipline, when Jesus, by his word and spirit, invites us to live in reality together, in the reality, the truth of God's grace for the sake of community and communion. There's a difference between condemnation and discipline. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But those whom Jesus loves, he reproves and disciplines because he speaks the truth in love. He tells us the truth because he loves us, because he wants to be with us, because he wants what's good for us, because he wants to bless us in our relationship with him. And he calls us to speak the truth in love to each other in the same way, to participate in his own life of speaking the truth in love, to bear true witness for the good of our neighbors, for them and not against them, especially through the proclamation of the good news of the forgiveness of sins and salvation that's found in Christ by faith. So, you know, Jesus, one application of this, he's against false teachers. They break this commandment by bearing false witness to him, their neighbor, to Jesus, by proclaiming a false gospel. Jesus wants us to be faithful witnesses like he is. And so he says some things that are difficult for us, but ultimately good and wonderful. He says in Luke 21, he says, "They'll lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons, and you'll be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. This will be your opportunity to bear witness." And remember, the word translated witness is martyr, right? Faithful witnesses, faithful martyrs, speak the truth of God's kingdom and love for the good of their neighbor's relationship with God, even when it hurts. How different from those who would gain by bearing false witness against their neighbors. Faithful witnesses submit to the reality of God's judgment, and they live together with him forever in his justice and in his glorious peace. Faithful witnesses know Jesus. We know Jesus intimately when we speak the truth in love. Amen. Let's pray. Father, you've spoken the good word of reconciliation to us in your Son. Help us to live in your truth together. Help us to embrace your reality and relationship with you. Help us to be faithful witnesses for the sake of our neighbors. Help us to speak the gospel truth never in condemnation, but always in love. In the name of the one who is called faithful and true, make us faithful and true. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.